Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the April 10th DEEB meeting. I believe the computer should have notified everybody that this meeting is being recorded and that the audio will be posted on the DEEB website. My name is Ryan Wilson. I'm the current chair of DEEB, and we'll go around and let's go that way.
All right. Andrew Gunther, ELS Engineering.
Seth Pauling, AKS Engineering.
Mike Odrin, McKay Sposito.
Eric Limo,
SJ Engineering.
Victoria Abram, Clark County Community Development.
Brent Davis, Community Development.
I'm Steve Gallup, Clark County Transportation Division.
Melanie Davis, Clark County Development Engineering.
Those online.
Terry Wallen, Wallen Associates.
Naomi Padibanla, Development Engineering.
Harrison Houston, Community Planning.
It's quiet.
Anybody else online? Any members of the public?
You may not hear me, but Oliver is online.
Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you, Oliver.
Anybody else online?
Jackie Lane, just public person.
Who's the Ian?
All right, last call.
Ian, I see an Ian. Is there an Ian? He's your IT guy,
yeah,
right?
Yes, Ian Harkins, BIA Government Affairs Coordinator.
Oh, there we go.
Sherry, you need to sit down quickly and introduce yourself.
Sherry Jones, Southwest Washington Contractors Association.
All right. Next item on the agenda is to review and adopt minutes from the, when was that? The previous DEEB meeting.
Yep. Mr. Chair, I've reviewed. I just have one correction on the top of page 2. It says American Institute of Architects for Washing, Housing, Livability, and Affordability Committee. I would think that that is Washington.
Yeah.
Not Washing. And I only reviewed the minutes up to stormwater code and manual proposed updates because I'm not an engineer, so I don't know if that it matches up with what was discussed. But I would assume that it does because those that fill these minutes out do a very, very good job. So as I say that, I would move for approval.
I might just strike that whole part about the American. I mean, those aren't AIA bills. Those were just I've tracked them because I'm on that particular council, but those are just regular legislative bills. So
okay, so it should just say what, state legislation?
Yeah, just
okay.
Just leave the state legislation and then take out all the stuff about the AIA.
That item. The last bullet under that is required tree plantings. That one's not a state legislative item, though.
That's correct. Yeah.
That should be a separate sub-bullet. Or was that part of public comment? Somebody brought that up. Did you bring that up, Houston?
I think it was Terry. Never mind. That was a different item.
Okay. Required tree planting on smaller lots. Issues arise where the builder isn't required to have landscape certification done, and then the developer becomes responsible.
Oh,
that was Terry.
Yeah. That was Terry.
Okay.
Okay. So that should be a separate heading. It's not part of the state legislation.
No.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve as amended.
Yeah, move to approve as amended.
Second.
I'll go ahead and get those revised and get sent back out to you.
We need a second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. All right, upcoming events.
For the month of April, on the 3rd, they had a planning. Skipping the council. For the Clark County Council meetings on April 8th, they had a public hearing for the 2025 capital budget technical adjustment. And then they had some work sessions as well in the beginning of this month on the 8th, 9 a.m. They had law and justice and a forest management work session on Wednesday, April 9th. There was the DEEB annual update and 2025 work plan work session. And on Wednesday, April 16th, we have the jail financing options with PFM and the comp plan policies. For the Planning Commission, on April 3rd, they had a work session for an amendment to the ordinance for the Slatchy Bluff, and then also neighborhood traffic management program presented. And on April 17th, coming up, they will have a public hearing for the amendment to the ordinance 2022-07-01 for Slatchy Bluff. And that is all we have for April as of today.
Okay, that brings us to member announcements. I guess I'll just start really quickly that the one member announcement would probably be just to recap the work session with the council. But given that we have a very full agenda today, I would like to make that an agenda item on our next meeting.
Mr. Chair, if we can do it at the end, if things go a little bit quicker, could we do it then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other member announcements?
We had our work session yesterday. Do we have any takeaways from that? Do we want to bring back to the group or?
That's what you were talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at the end.
Pay attention.
Yeah. Sorry.
What about the updates on the member replacements?
I have reached out to the county manager's office. They were not able to provide me with selections at this time, but they will follow up as soon as that has been completed.
What I would like to, I guess, request is from the work session yesterday, we'll recap it, but if we can, on a next agenda, have an update on the climate action group as it's related to the comp plan.
Yeah, thank you. That was one of my takeaways from the meeting yesterday as well. So, all right then, let's jump into the main agenda then. The first item is the road modification review flowchart, and I appreciate this getting sent out early so that I could start to try to work my way through this flowchart. Yeah.
I'll leave it there just in case. I don't want to blow you guys out. We'll see. Okay. Thanks you all for listening to this today. I want to talk about the road mod review team, and this document it's more set to establish kind of what the roles and responsibilities of that team are, what that team's to do, kind of the structure, some of the decision making that's maybe been a little bit not understood in the past. And so hopefully and the process of the back and forth. One of the things to keep in mind is based on the new, and Brent kind of hit on it last month in his presentation, the new requirements on the land use and getting them turned around and back out. Road mods, of course, are part of those. So we've got to streamline this process and get these in, reviewed, and decisions back out to meet the timelines that the state has set. So we've got to get this process to be efficient and get information in and get it out. So that's sort of the things that have really led to making changes or looking into this really deep. So we spent a lot of time talking about the process. What do we need? There is one document we haven't finished yet to get out to you guys, and this is available on our community development webpage, just so everybody's aware also. So it is out there if you want to pass that link around to others who aren't here, and that it is available.
Melanie, real quick.
I'm sorry.
Has this document been out for a while?
No.
Okay.
No. Yes. No.
It's so not. It's already been published. This is not draft. This is a final document that you're presenting today.
It's out on the web so everybody could use it, kind of that. I don't know how many, my previous world, I worked for Sacramento County for the sewer district, and I wrote all their ordinance documents and everything. So in my world, it's like, if I can go a week without somebody telling me I got a typo or an error, I feel like I did good. Okay. But yeah, they are out there for everyone to use to start, hey, who does what? Who do I talk to? What's the process? Again, this document is more about the structure and the operation, not so much about what the submittal is, what the requirements are. We are working on, what I was getting to is, we're working on another document to help with some guidelines, roadmap guidelines, what kind of information to proceed, you know, to give us, how to present that. So that is coming. We just didn't have it. It's not ready yet. We still have some definition gaps in that we need to fill in. And
this a change, or is this just codifying the way you already do things?
It's more trying to, not a change. Nothing's changing code, nothing like that. It's more just putting it out there. This is all this process. So it's not, you know, code tells you do this, but it doesn't tell you how. So this is kind of capturing how we've done it. I wouldn't say, there's a couple things that maybe we were doing sort of over here, but not really documented, that may be going away or getting documented. The guidelines are more still, here's the code, but when it says this, this is kind of what that looks like, helping that, you know, get everybody, hoping to give I don't want to call it a checklist, because it's not. It's just, hey, when it says that, these are the things to give us. If you want a site distance, here's what that would look like. If you want a road mod for that, give us this kind of information so that we can help process it quicker and not have to do a whole bunch of back and forth. That's the intent, to make this as efficient as we can, the process. So like I said, this document is more about structure and operation, not so much the middle requirements, not a checklist and that. It talks about, hey, what is the road mod team? It's a team. We serve as this, we're there to help look at review and say, hey, we can support or deny. And the team is more of the kind of recommending this, the support or denial of, depending on the conversation, what's being asked for. Safety comes in big, of course. If it's going to cause a safety concern for the county, that's going to be a harder one for us to want the team to support. And this document, like I said, this is kind of just outlining what's the team, what's our roles, and that purpose. Like I said, we're trying to ensure that the roads and streets adhere to the standards whenever we can. Obviously, there's instances where we can't. We all know that. So that's where it's at. That's why the road mod is there, is to say, hey, here's all the standards, code, you know, we get it. But for whether it's topographical, whatever the reasons are, of course, code outlines those for us. This is the mechanism that is out there for us to deal with that. It's county code 40.50.010, of course. I'm sure all of you know that. Going down, the objectives is basically of the team is to ensure public safety, durability, cost of maintenance, function, and appearance, advance the goals of the comprehensive plan. Of course, the comprehensive plan is, you know, a document that we have to reference and make sure that we're adhering to it. Ensure any modification request is the minimum necessary to alleviate the hardship. We want to make sure we're not over here with, hey, here's the code. We need to go to here. We don't want to be to here. It's like, hey, we can't meet this, but we can do this. We want to be as close to the code as we can, is kind of the intent. And there are sometimes projects can have like good impacts, like low impact development. Maybe there's something that's coming in for a road mod that helps low development. We like innovation. You know, maybe there's something that's coming that's better, or that those are things that are taken into consideration. I don't want to read through, but basically those are roles and responsibility. Obviously the transportation engineer, division manager, they're an approver. They review it. They are one of the, if you have a issue with your road mod, they are one of the escalation factors to reach out to if you have questions or concerns, or after you get your road mod decision. It's basically, we're calling it your EVR staff report. It's just about the road mod, but we're giving you a staff report that tells you what we looked at, what our thoughts were, whether we can support it or can't support it. So that's
is EVR the case acronym or whatever?
Yeah, for variance, EVR. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. So the permit, the case, whatever. Yeah, the EVR is kind of variances. The transportation manager is a reviewer. So that again, kind of in your, we'll get down a little bit where you go escalation. They're one of the people that you'll talk to as if you escalate. Concurrency engineer is obviously support. They review any kind of road mod for concurrency code concerns. Development engineering, there's an engineer. They're the developer. They're the one that's going to put your EVR. We just named it EVR staff report. Don't do anything special. It's basically the staff report that you've been getting. That's what we're calling it. They're the ones who develop that. They're the ones who research everything. If they're missing something or feel like that, they're the ones that are going to reach out to you and say, hey, I'm missing this or that. What's going on? They'll tell you, if your submittal is complete. They are also your first line of, you get something, you have a question, that's the first person you call. So that's your development engineer. Development engineer, program manager, they review the staff reports initially, make sure that from a development engineer standpoint, the recommendation we're giving to the team, we support it, basically facilitate the team. Then there's the development engineering manager, there's the community development manager, just to kind of observe the meeting, their sort of questions or things that need to go to different areas of the county. Traffic engineers. There's a lot of other people. The long range transportation planner support with comprehensive plan information, things like that. When we're trying to evaluate the road mod and whether we can support it or not support it, traffic engineers, long range transportation planners, they all add input, give us comments if there's anything in their world that this is going to affect positively, negatively, that they're there for input support of the I don't want to call it decision, the what we're coming up with, whether we can support it or deny it. They're giving us input on that, pros and cons. The county engineer, the public works director, generally, honestly, they aren't there in the meeting every week, but they are observers. They have it on their calendar. They can jump in if it's something that we need. And the county engineer is part of the escalation, as you'll see here in a little bit. So that'll just communication. Most of our stuff's done by email, internally for the team. We have the agenda schedule. We do meet on Wednesdays from 10:30 to 12 for about an hour and a half. We can do up to 5 items. Honestly, since I've got here, we've never got over 5, but that's sort of the limit of, there's only so much time that you can cover everything. Required attendance, the transportation division manager, the transportation manager, development engineering engineer, whoever put the one making the recommendation to the team, the development engineer project manager who's facilitating, the long range transportation planners, and the concurrent engineer are the required. Optional, you'll see, obviously, just normal meeting code of conduct.
Melanie, a couple of questions. Can you scroll back just a little bit? As far as the schedule is concerned, do you guys meet virtually or in person?
Virtually.
Okay. And then if one of the required attendees cannot attend, then do you still move forward with the meeting or do you postpone it until the next week?
Still move
forward. Okay.
I'm not going to say this is every time, but what we've been doing is if somebody knows they're going to be gone, we pass it. We put them out early.
Oh, okay.
The agenda and that. If someone knows they're not going to be there, they'll send out an email that says, hey, these are my thoughts and that, and for example, Harrison, I'm going to use you, Harrison, because I know you're on there. He wasn't going to attend the meeting on Wednesday, but he had some long range comprehensive plan comments on the road mod. So he just sent an email with his comments before. So if they have anything that concerns them or that on the item, they do let us know so that we conclude it. But we always try to cover it and do it. And even if there wasn't, we would hit them up after the meeting and go, this came up before we push forward. So,
I think you're on presentation.
Presentation wise. So this is one of the things, this is a little different. I know you guys don't see this, but internally, this is a little different for us. The Roadmont team in the past, the meeting has kind of been a little bit of working through it, analysis and pulling everything. How we want to do going forward to sort of try to streamline even the meeting and what we're getting to and through is the development engineers are going to review all the information. The staff report is going to be prepared with their recommendation based on what they reviewed to the team. So the development engineer is actually going to do the presentation to the Roadmont team. This is the, you know, this is the project. This is what code would look, code says. This is what it would look like. These are what the applicant is saying. We, you know, code-wise, we can't because of whatever reason. And based on everything they've reviewed, they will make a recommendation to the team of whether, hey, we can support this. We can support it, but with these conditions. Or, hey, we deny it. Or, hey, we deny it, but we looked at it. There is a they can't meet the code, but this is maybe a better option. So they kind of so that's a little different in that development engineers are going to be the kind of the lead presenting to the meeting instead of sort of just coming everything in. And we will bring in the EVR staff report to it will already be prepared before the meeting, where historically that's been written after the meeting. So that's kind of part of the streamline is trying to get that done ahead of time. So it is available for the meeting and hopefully we can get that out after the meeting back to you guys quicker.
So that's a new process then? It wasn't done like that before?
Internally, yes. So like I said, it doesn't. You guys don't see that, but it is internally a little bit different than what we've done at the meeting in the past.
Is there any opportunity for the applicant to present instead of the development engineering? Because a lot of times the development engineer doesn't know all of the intricacies of the project, and there's usually a lot of things that are being balanced, and there's usually a lot more to it than what you put in a road mod application. And those roadmap applications, from what they've requested over the years, they've gotten really long. So there's a lot of stuff that's repeated on each one. You know, you're repeating code because that's what was requested in the past. Mm-hmm. We've tried to summarize it in like a one page, and then there's a, you know, you didn't provide enough information. So you end up with now a 9-page narrative mm-hmm. that I can guarantee if they're reviewing this many of them, they don't have time to review all 9 pages.
Yeah.
So really, it's a presentation. And I would say 9 out of 10 times, if I can present and I can explain the situation, it's going to get approved. On those applications, I would say more than not, I'm not sure if you guys are seeing it, but it used to be back a few years ago, probably pre-COVID, when they were in-person meetings, almost all the road mods were approved, or it was a conversation. So it's like we get a call saying, you know, I'm not seeing why this is necessary. We talked to the review team, and it'd get approved because then they were able to hear the actual like the scenario.
Well, that thought, because okay. Well, number one, I do agree with you. After I said the guidelines and like what that application looks like, what you're giving, I will definitely be doing some work on that. But I do have an answer where I think I got something that will help with the getting your across and not having to do it in writing, a kind of the narrative. So hold that thought and we'll come back to it. And if I don't come back to it, remind me, but we're going to come back to it. So the big thing here is decision-making. There is definitely, we're following code for the decision-making. Like I said, our documentation that we give back. So historically, and this is a little bit of a process change, historically there's been like a summary and then there's a email, then a summary, and then finally the EVR staff report. So there's like 3 or 4 documents running around out there going back and forth. We're going to streamline that to one document because we don't have time for all of this. So that is a difference in that the EVR staff report is our documenting decision. We will be distributing that to the applicant within 5 days of the meeting. So the meeting's on Wednesday. We're going through. Our goal is to Monday so that that's okay. So that Monday it's out there and back with your decision. The decision is final. The big thing, like I said, we're trying to – from the developers, what we're getting is you guys are dragging this stuff out. It's costing me money. I'd rather you have me tell me no 5 months ago than wait 5 months to then tell me, well, yeah, you can do this, but not that. Just get us an answer, get it back so we can work with it. So we're trying to streamline and get those answers back to you guys and not drag out. So here's one of the things is, and I don't know how to tell you the faster, the earlier in this project you can get us your road mods, the better off we all are. Bottom line. And even with some of the new timelines coming out, if you're past fully complete and then turn in a road mod, then that land use review process, we're probably going to add days to that based on some of the recommendations that are coming out of those timelines. So the earlier you can get those to us.
Can we submit it before we submit the land use application? Because there's the draft version. We can submit a draft. That's one thing that they allowed us to do so we could get like an initial take on what staff was thinking, but those fall below the actual ones that they have been.
No, you can't do a draft, but what we are going to do, and this is kind of getting where I'm hoping this is going where Eric was going, we are going to do a consultation, so a roadmap consultation meeting. So you can sit down with staff and say, hey, this is what I've got. This is my project. These are my issues. What do you think I can do? Option one, option two. What do you think has a better opportunity? So kind of like a pre-appy meeting kind of, but that we're just sitting down with your development engineer, your reviewer, basically review engineer, the engineer. And if there's a concurrency issue, then we can bring, at this time it's Craig, but bring our concurrency engineer in. So that's kind of how we're trying to get some of that, getting it out in front, getting some of that language that it's hard to write, but it's easy to tell someone or show someone, and then questions back and forth so that the product that actually gets submitted or that we see as development engineering review, we understand what's going on. So so that'll be something that if you, hey, I want a road mod. Obviously, I'm thinking about a half an hour for those, one through project, one per project. So again, you know, try to get all the stuff together. We don't want to go back. I really want to get away from the back and forth four and five times. Wednesday we had a road mod. This is the fourth time we've seen it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, somewhere in there we needed to sit down and talk because we don't need to get to four. So please, you know, if there's something like that, ask definitely. If you got one that's kind of crazy, weird or whatever, or you even think that won't get approved, definitely ask for the road mod consultation. Right now there's not, you know, that it's sort of a part of the, I'm going to say it's kind of part of the pre-app process a little bit, and that there's no fee, there's no permit or case. It's just, hey, I got a road mod and I need a consultation for this project I have.
And that's typically then requested in advance of an application, land use application, that the real road mod would then be submitted.
So I'll be honest, this one's still a little bumpy in that how's it going to work? So you guys are all going to be guinea pigging a little bit with us all as we figure out what works best. Our initial thought was to have it between pre-app, prior to land use, but I'm not sure if even after pre-app works, or like you guys are talking about, maybe before pre-app. So I'm kind of open.
Probably after pre-app.
After pre-app, not before pre-app, yeah.
And that's what, so that was our thought, is after pre-app, but before the land use.
We have to get into a certain level of design before we even know that we might need a road mod.
Right. And so, yeah. And so that was kind of our thought. It sounds like you guys are in the same wavelength we were. So good. So that's the thought, is use this meeting to kind of iron out stuff. If you got a couple different options, you know, lay out, hey, what do you think has a better chance of getting approval from the team? You know, that's what that's for, is let's bounce it out. Let's communicate. And I'm hoping that will relieve some of the back and forth that we've had in the past. Again, kind of a new concept. There might be some bugs and iron it out, but we'll work through it. And as long as everybody's open to it. You scroll up a little bit. Sorry. Or down, yeah, to go up. So these are the things I really want to, this one's pretty a big deal. So I want to make sure that we get this out there. If you, again, that EBR staff report's a final decision. That's why I want to try to get everything ahead before that EBR staff report gets out. And I really want to get it all ironed out and everything in before it goes to land use decision. Because if we are prior to final decision, there is a mechanism, the final decision, EBR staff report goes out, you have some concerns, something didn't get addressed right or whatever in communication. Hey, development engineer, review engineer, hey, I got this, but what about we talked about that? There's a chain between the development engineer. If we can solve it in development engineering, great. If it's kind of outside, then we can go to the transportation. up to the transportation manager. And if we have not resolved it at all, you can go traffic engineer up to the county engineer. So that kind of lays out that escalation process. Now, I want earlier, let's communicate so we don't get to that point is really the goal. Let's talk about it. Let's solve it. Let's get it out there. This is the thing. After land use, after land decision, anything that let's say we put out, your road mod's denied. After land use decision, we have to go through the appeal process. This is why we all need to work together to try to get all this resolved before that, because otherwise that, you know, you got to go through the appeal process. And that's in code too. I'll be honest, we kind of read through that about three times because I'm not sure we all really knew that was it there. I'm blaming the new person. I was like, wait, what does this say? So please understand if it's something after final decision, it is anything on your conditions, your land use or that, we've got to go back for post-decision appeal. So that's a big one there. And we do have a flow chart. Like I said, lots of color to help follow that kind of outlines that. We do not have, I'll be honest, the road mod consultation is not in here because we sort of came up after this had been out there of that idea. And it's kind of a little bit up here. So in the process.
Sorry, could I jump in real quick? I wanted to go back to what you had just said about the land use decision. And at that point, it would require an appeal. Prior to that, under the decision documentation, it was okay. I think I maybe just misunderstood. So never mind. I think I answered my own question. Yeah.
Sure.
So decision from the road mod committee isn't final until the staff report is issued.
Yeah,
right.
It's not, the road mod team does not give you a decision. We're kind of, we support it or we deny it, but it has to go hearing wise and that. But the problem is sometimes you've got conditions or whatever.
Right.
So the road mod team does not actually have the authority to change any of that. It has to go back to the hearing examiner. So obviously at that point, the hearing examiner is probably still going to ask, well, did the road mod team approve of that? So it still kind of jumbles together, but that is the mechanism the code gives us after land use.
I think we may be using the wrong terminology.
If it's a condition.
I saw the same thing as Ryan, and under decision documentation, it says, you know, the EVR staff report will be distributed within 5 days of the meeting and the decision is final. Kind of doesn't take into account that discussion back and forth. So
I can work on wording that. The concept there is that from the road mod team, this is our direction decision. I'll look for a different word because the hearing exam is really the final decision of that, you know, and the conditions and that and setting that. So
I think instead of the appeal process, you might want to say post-decision review process, because an appeal is more like a disagreement between staff and the applicant, where it's like a court-type process, where a post-decision review is a minor change in the application that goes through typing, and it's not always the same level as an appeal. An appeal has a time frame, so I don't think appeal is the right word there. I think it's actually through the post-decision review process.
It is the post-decision in code.
Okay, so appeal seems a little extreme.
The post-decision.
I think that clears it up a little bit. And a lot of times there's standalone road mods that don't have a decision associated with them. Okay. So there's standalone road modifications that don't have a decision. Like you're building an SFR and you have an access and you're doing it with your home permit. There's not a decision for that.
Right.
So in those, they're standalone. So just make sure that I would say that they're not all the same.
Yeah. No, that is true.
And then there's a little bit of timing I can think of, or I can foresee that where we have the consultation, but we may not know that we need the consultation until the EVR staff report has been issued and you're recommending a denial.
Mm-hmm. So one thing we are – one of the – I'm going to call it request. I'm not 100% sure. With the timing-wise, I'm a little concerned.
Sure.
From a development engineering standpoint, what I have asked the review engineers to do, mm-hmm. and timing-wise, we're a little concerned, is if they review everything, and they're recommending a denial, they're going to go to the team with a recommendation of denial to call the engineer.
Perfect. Call the applicant's engineer.
Applicant's engineer, yes. And
perfect.
Say,
there you
go. I've reviewed everything. This is the only thing. You guys, there's I'm going to blame it on Brandon's timeline. So, but we're reviewing something and we get it back and we're going through and the team's here. We're trying to get it. That timeline for us to call you and get anything back from you or more support or the more documentation is about this. So that's our only concern with that is we are totally willing to say, hey, I've reviewed everything. My recommendation to the team right now is going to be denial because of ABC. Your guys' response time is about this. You know what? So that's the only caveat with that.
We would most likely, and if this has happened just recently with us on a project, we would just place the application on hold until we get resolution. Okay. On that, depending on the level of how far our client wants us to take that.
Okay.
You know, most of the time it's a full access versus a write in, write out versus a write in, write out, left in.
Yeah.
Something like that. You might sound familiar. Right. So yeah. I think that in those instances, we wouldn't try to fit everything in there. That's not supporting our client. We would place it on hold. Then we would work through it to see if we can come to some common ground.
Okay. And that was the biggest thing in that conversation we had about notifying you guys, hey, we're at this point, we're thinking of that our recommendation is going to be denial, is to reach out. But the concern I got back was the time frame there on that response and that. So,
and it should, I think all the consultants would understand that, you know, you're not trying to make our lives difficult by giving us only this much time, that's just the way it is.
And
placing it on hold for a week or two while we gather our, you know, or amend our roadmap applications, I think is reasonable.
Awesome. No, that's great. That's an answer back. That was where I ran into that and I wasn't sure how to deal with that. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And another thing that comes up in this is the amount of work you guys have to put into it and just workload. So if you have to meet with the applicant on every single one of these, that becomes a lot of burden on staff to go through all of those. So, I mean, one of my thoughts coming in was if it is denied, we do a meeting. If it's a no-brainer and it's just an approval, then we don't have to meet necessarily. But we don't know that it's going to be. I can say we've submitted some that seemed very cut and dry, yeah. And then really surprised to get a denial, and probably because they didn't know they didn't see the big picture. So if we could talk to them, we would probably be approved. But we don't want to waste your time either. We know you guys are busy.
Yeah. So the meeting, like I said, just like with our plan review, we put a comment. Hey, if you have questions or want to have a meeting, the exact wording is that Shannon puts in there, but hey, call us. We'll totally have a meeting with you. Hey, our engineers are in the office. Sit down with you. Go through it. Sometimes even just pulling it up on a Teams call, if not in person, we can solve a million emails back and forth and clear something up. Oh, I took it like this. Oh, I read it like this. It's so easy with 1 to 5 minute phone call versus 7 emails back and forth. So yeah, that's it. So that is there for plan reviews, for road mods, anything, you know, hey, want to have a consultation meeting, let's do it because it could make it easier at the whole process.
Who's the best person to contact for those? Is it you? Is it our?
For a road mod, I would, so your road mods will be assigned to one of the engineers, either Hannah or Sydney or Michelle or Alistair. That's your first contact for everything. Your design review engineer. They can, you know, if you're in pre-op stuff, well, if you've had pre-op, you have an engineer assigned. So you're okay if we're after pre-op. Before that, I would reach out to Naomi and say, hey, I got something I want to bounce off. You know, you can bounce it off her or whatever kind of thing. But really and truly, probably, like you guys said, after pre-op is the best. And then you would know who your engineer is at that point. So your review engineer. So, and I'm totally out of time. But this is completely internal, but basically is this kind of outlines out for us what we go through internally, who it goes through. But I know there's been questions, so that's why I wanted to get this out to you guys so you understood what we're doing internally, some of our time frames, our turnaround times, who it goes through, what we do, the questions we ask ourselves. Like I said, the big things are going to be, I can't stress, the earlier you can get it in, use that consultation if you think something's kind of questionable or you're going to get, or you got a couple different maybe options that, hey, which do you think is better? Which do you think the team's going to like better kind of thing? Use that. And then hopefully, like I said, we get that document out to you. You guys get your decision and you can move forward with your design more efficiently.
I would assume that this document here is somewhat dynamic and you'll be updating it with some of the information we talked about today.
Yeah. So I am off, like I said, I spent quite a few years for the sewer district, writing documents and updating process. I am a process and I love process and procedure. I'm a total geek. So, but one thing is, yes, definitely. To me, these are dynamic as things change, activities change that. And especially putting this out here, one of the reasons we wanted to present it was one, let you guys know we've listened, we've heard, we're trying really hard. But yeah, I'm looking for, you can actually directly, you know, let me know if there's feedback even after this meeting or future something comes up feedback. Hey, this, you know, could we add this information or that as the guidelines come out? That's another one. Hey, this is what the, you know, this is kind of what applications for road mods look like. This is what we're doing. Feedback on that. That's great because it helps make this better.
I might suggest that we invite Melanie back in a couple of months to maybe look back at this.
When you started, you mentioned that there was another process you guys are working on related to the types of the information and the standards that you're using, but that's not done yet.
There's I'm going to call it the road mod guidelines, and what it is basically to help what you submit. So, and that we don't have done, we don't have that.
You have a rough estimate on, is that like a summer or fall thing?
I'm a little.
I don't want to put you on the. Okay. Great.
Easier than that process wise, but yeah, no, it definitely something.
So maybe that would be a good time to
then update this and
update this as well. Real quickly, well, before you sit down, I noticed that the very first start of this is that it's a land use project. I just want to clarify that land use projects are the only types of projects where road standards are reviewed.
So we could, so no. And what I mean by that is you could have where I'm building a house and I go out and do an ADS, A whatever.
ADU.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you guys. I'm all throwing out the Sacramento County Code. I'm still learning this one. And then they go out and they find out like we don't have site distance or something like that. Then they can turn around and have to do a road mod for a driveway spacing site. Something comes out of that that has no land use case involved. So there is some.
How about tenant improvements?
That's one I have not seen. So I don't.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, I don't think we've.
I was told recently. I was told recently that tenant improvements could trigger access.
Is that a change in use?
No change in use. Just a tenant improvement.
That is not one we've seen since I've been here. But
I'd be interested in that.
It's scared them.
Yeah, I bet.
It scared me.
I keep us updated on that very thing.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued.
I guess it would be helpful to understand what sorts of applications all could trigger road standard review. Because I don't feel like I have a very good understanding of when. I mean, I've had it on food trucks and. ADUs, as you say, so
a change in trip generation, an increase in trip generation.
It could,
and how a TI assumes would relate to that.
Yeah, if you were going from industrial to medical office or something, you know,
that would be a reduction.
No, that would be way more trips.
Industrial to medical, rare.
But
no.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. I haven't seen any. Not saying maybe, but that I haven't seen any. Since I've gotten here.
I guess that's a good question just for staff in general is what kind of reviews, whether it be land use or building or whatever, would trigger the need for a road modification.
I've seen home businesses do it, and it's kind of significant because they fall in between everything.
Right.
And there's very little proportionality to any improvements when it's already functioning for the most part.
Interesting question.
Real quick, on page 3, it kind of has who the people that are attendants of the road mod. So who are you have the transportation division manager. Who is that one? Like, what are the names that go along with the positions?
Transportation division manager, Steve, in the room. Okay. Transportation manager, David Jardine. Development engineer, engineering engineer, that's Hannah or Alistair or Michelle, Sydney. Development engineering program manager, that's Naomi. Long range transportation, Michael and Harrison, and concurrency is Craig.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steve, if you're going to the ball, Steve, they know who you are now. That was my introduction, right?
Melanie, one more question really quick, and I might have missed it. The consultation meeting, is that with the entire road modification review team or only with the development engineer?
That, the intent would be that's with the development, not the road mod team, your development engineer, review engineer, maybe the program manager, depending on, and then if like in pre-app or that we found that you have, there's some concurrency thing that you've been tasked with, then we would call it, we'd have Craig in there also as the concurrency engineer. But it's that smaller kind of, basically your team that's putting your staff report together to go to the road mod team, that's who you would have that consultation meeting with, is making sure they've got all your information, your narrative's complete, we've got all the documentation we need. Or you're asking, hey, what do I do? This is what I'm looking at. So
yeah, and my only concern is that this is not to be insulting to staff, but sometimes the review engineers are not particularly experienced, and we're looking for good feedback at that stage. It sounds like pretty vital, and so some of these are pretty complex issues. So I think ability to call in at least sort of the next level of manager or a mentor would be really valuable in these kind of situations.
So I would say I'm kind of that 80-20, 80% of the time we're probably, if you have something that's real special or that, hey, we've already run into issues or pre-app, maybe something in the pre-app meeting already kind of went sideways, then you can say, Hey, Melanie, FYI, I really think the consultation, we need a little bit more, and we can talk about it. Like I said, 80-20. I don't want to set something up for here when, the majority of the time we just need this and we can get through it. We have a good understanding and that. But yeah, we're always open. Text me, call me, email me. I'm always there. Whatever.
Ooh, be careful what you ask for.
I do have a few that have texted me, so it's all good. But awesome. Thank you guys for your time. Well, and definitely comments if you get them back to Victoria or to me so that we can get that over. Desiree does all our documents online, but we'll get those edits over to her and review the edit, the comments we get back and edits and get them updated. But I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Melanie.
Okay, you want me to start?
Your turn. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. My name is Steve Gallup. I'm the Transportation Division Manager for the county. And then with me here is Harrison Houston. He's the Transportation Planner for Community Planning. And what we're going to do is go through, about 15 or 16 slides. We'll try to make it as efficient as possible to talk to you about a new program that we're going to bring to the residents of the county. It's Neighborhood Traffic Management Program. It's basically a traffic calming program that we're going to be able to instigate in the county, and it's a good thing. So with that, I'll turn it over to Harrison.
Great. Thanks, Steve. And just for the record, my name is Harrison Houston, Transportation Planner with Community Planning. Next slide, please. For today's agenda, we plan on providing providing an introduction to the Neighborhood Traffic Management Program, some history and background of the project, background of the traffic engineering team, and the current tools that are being utilized to address customer service requests, as well as some of these tools' limitations. Then we'll be providing an overview of the process framework that's being proposed for a program. Provide some examples of traffic management tools that could be utilized by the program, how the program would be supported, and what is needed for its implementation. And lastly, we'll just review with you the next steps for the project. Next slide, please. So the Neighborhood Traffic Management Program, or NTMP, was a project that county staff pursued at the direction of council in response to traffic and road safety concerns that have been brought forward over the years by the neighborhood associations and other county residents. Staff identified that there wasn't current programming in place to help address these concerns, and the project looked at developing a systematic approach that could be used to address these issues. The program would focus on improvements for local neighborhood roads that you would find in residential areas. And so at the onset of the project, staff developed kind of a mission statement and goals to kind of guide our work And it was really kind of centered around providing traffic calming solutions where appropriate in order to influence driver behavior, improve neighborhood quality of life, and create a more safe and livable livable local streets. The proposed program will kind of aim to achieve that mission through a combination of tools through education, traffic enforcement, and engineering solutions to help really reduce speeding, cut through traffic, and improving conditions for all users. Next slide. And I'll hand it over to Steve.
Currently, right now, Public Works gets hundreds of calls every year about different complaints or issues, traffic calming issues. Our traffic engineering team received approximately 400 calls just last year, and out of those 400 calls, about 70-80% of them are speeding-related issues. The traffic engineering team consists of about half a dozen people, staff members that are kind of limited in the resources that they have and things that to be able to respond to these issues. Some of the tools that we do have now is we do meet monthly with the sheriff's office and let them know of kind of some hotspots or areas that we receive of complaints of speeding issues. And of course, as you know, the sheriff's office is stretched pretty thin, so they don't have a lot of time to spend on patrolling, going out on roads and things for speeding issues. The other thing that we have is speed feedback signs. So we have about six or eight of these speed feedback signs that we deploy throughout the county. You can see the picture there. It basically tells you your speed that you are traveling. And these are very effective for about a week. Then people finally figure out what's going on, and so they realize that nobody's watching them. There's not going to get a ticket, and so they kind of go back to their old habits. So we try to move them throughout the county to try to keep their effectiveness in different areas. And then the other thing that we have, of course, is the traffic engineering team is a master of data. They collect a lot of data, speed data, volumes, hourly counts, you name it. They go out and collect a lot of traffic data. But with the limited resources we have, we can only take that data so far. And so the NTMP program will help us to kind of go to the next level. Next slide. And Harrison.
So as Steve just mentioned, Public Works receives hundreds of customer service requests a year. We kind of have heard that speeding and traffic safety is a huge concern for our neighborhood associations. We know that when drivers are faced with congestion on our arterials and collectors, they choose to use neighborhood residential streets to avoid having to sit in traffic. So the NTMP would provide a framework that outlines a consistent and transparent process for addressing these complaints. It would also provide county staff with the tools and funding needed to systematically reduce speeding and improve safety in those identified problem areas. And then lastly, we believe that this kind of systematic approach can help enhance just equity and livability across neighborhoods. Next slide.
Can we go back, Shannon? Yeah. This picture here on the right is kind of a picture of where we've received complaints, and you can see kind of most of the red dots are more in the urban type environment area, of course, where the higher traffic volumes and things are.
And so I'm just gonna go over a quick high level overview of the process framework that was developed as part of this program. And actually to kind of provide a little bit more history and background, when we kind of were developing this project, we brought on a consultant to kind of help us, and we had asked for them to provide us with three concepts of a program. The project team went out and kind of evaluated similar projects throughout the state and kind of throughout the Portland, Vancouver metro area. They kind of provided us with basically three concepts based off of that. And so back in 2023, we went to council and we kind of provided them with those three concepts, and they asked us to come back at a later date with with a recommendation of just one of those. So we are going to be moving forward with recommending the level two concept. And I believe there was a link to the concept reports provided in the Teams chat at the beginning of the meeting. So if you're interested in kind of reading through kind of the nuts and bolts of it, you can kind of go through that report and kind of see kind of what the program would really entail and like the different levels of kind of funding and implementation that were proposed for each concept. But in that level two concepts, we're really kind of proposing an annual ongoing program that would really be broken up into four steps. And that first step would really involve residents or honestly the different neighborhood associations themselves submitting their traffic concerns to Public Works. And the county would have a website that would serve as a landing page for residents to submit their requests and also provide them additional information about how the program works. And the process to elicit these submissions would be initiated every year around mid-January and remain open until beginning of March. And as part of that first step, county staff would do an initial kind of desktop assessment with all that data that Steve was talking about to kind of evaluate existing conditions of those areas. And then once an assessment has been done, that will help kind of with our determination of if a potential road project would be eligible for the program. And then in step two, we kind of move into evaluation where county staff would compile a list of potential tools and strategies to address those concerns. Steve will later review some of those tools could look like. But once an initial list is compiled, we would seek input from a variety of internal and external stakeholders, such as the Sheriff's Department, the different fire districts, CTRAN, different school districts. And then the projects would be scored and ranked using a prioritization methodology that's included in the concept report. The top scoring projects would move into step three, which is engagement. And during that step, the county would post basically the eligible projects on the county website and notify those neighborhood associations or residents kind of which projects would be moving forward with implementation. And that would happen around May 1st or beginning of May. And then the last step in the process would be step four with implementation, where county staff would present that prioritized list to council for approval in early summer. And then after council's approval, the projects would go through design and be scheduled and added to the 6-year transportation improvement program. And since DEEB reviews the 6-year TIP every year, that was kind of one of the reasons we wanted to come to you today and provide this background information on the program. And I'll pass it back over to Steve.
Harrison, I have one question.
Sure.
So is the intent that you take the data that you've already collected from the 400 calls to start there, or does it all sort of start over with, like, have you already targeted areas that you would start this project?
This would be a new program that we would start, like, from the beginning. And kind of the main reason why we're doing that is because this program also is more of a kind of a system that we can do that's more equitable throughout the whole county. And so it'd be kind of a new program that we would be started.
So you wouldn't go back to any complaints that have already come in? You don't already have a list of, you know, this neighborhood is.
Yeah, we're still it's not like we're not going to do anything about those complaints. We still have those complaints on our list, so we'll still follow up on them. But this program, and as a matter of fact, I'll get into it in a couple slides here, isn't going to really start until next year anyway. So what these next couple slides are, I don't have slides for all these options, but this list on the left there, kind of the tools that we'll be able to use through this this program. This first example is showing a traffic circle. Basically, it helps people drive a little slower because they actually have to change the direction they're going and go at a different speed there. Next slide. And then probably the biggest thing that we're going to probably implement with this program is you see it a lot is speed bumps. We'll probably end up using those quite a bit. That seems like a popular one. Every time somebody asks about the speeding issue, they say, why can't you just install speed bumps out there on my road? And so this program actually led us to be able to do that. So next slide. This one here is our optical speed bars. So we actually have tried this over on Northeast 88th Street over there as you go to Costco and Home Depot and things. But what they are is these little white tick marks that you can see. And we place them at first, they're kind of farther apart. And as you go in through them, they get closer and closer to each other. So it makes you appear like you're driving faster as you go through these. And so you want to kind of slow down your speed. And we actually have done a before and after study. And at this location, it actually reduced the average speed by 5 miles per hour, which is actually quite a bit. So they're a lot more effective than I thought they would be. So that's another tool. Next slide. And then, of course, we'll have educational campaigns. This is actually a campaign that we do every year about safety within our work zones. We also have other campaigns, bring your kid to work day. Matter of fact, that's coming up here in a week or so. And also Public Works Day. So we'll be able to kind of share this program throughout those campaigns and things. Next slide. This, I did want to throw an example. This is Northeast 134th Street. It is a local residential road. It has a lot of residential traffic on it. It's kind of northeast area of town, east of 205, kind of up in the Salmon Creek, east of Salmon Creek area. But this road here is a road that we have received speeding complaints and cut through traffic and things. But this would be a road that could possibly qualify in this program for speed bumps or maybe curb extensions or something like that. So it's just an example of a place that we've received issues. Next slide.
That street's really wide and there's no cars parked on it.
I live on a street like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight, wide, yeah. No cars.
Fire department loves it.
So the program will support two additional full-time employees. So we'll have two employees that will manage this program. It'll, of course, increase the capacity to be more proactive with these types of issues that we receive, on a yearly basis. And also, the good thing about the program is it'll increase the collaboration with the neighborhood associations, with, residents and things like that. So I think it'd be a good program to be more transparent and kind of how we service or react to the calls and things. And the other thing is help us to reduce the repeat calls due to safety improvements. Of course, we will get a call and it may take us a while to do something, then we get a repeat call and stuff. So hopefully with these additional resources that will help keep that from happening. We are gonna have a budget of about $500,000 yearly. So $250,000, half of that would probably go towards salaries and the other half would go towards implementing these tools. Next slide.
Is that general fund? Or how is it funded?
That's road fund. Road operations fund. So we did do a work session with council at the beginning of March. We presented to Planning Commission last week. Of course, you guys today, the NAC on Monday, which is the Neighborhood Association Council of Clark County. So we're going to talk to them on Monday evening about this program. So those are some of the next steps. And then in end of May, I think May 20th at the council meeting there, we're going to have a public hearing and officially get their approval at that time to include this in actually 2026 budget. So we wouldn't be starting anything until 2026. And then, of course, we'll have an annual reporting process where we'll report back to the council on an annual basis. Next slide. I think that's it. So we are, like I said, going to be going back to council May 20th. So any comments or questions that you have, we will take back to them as we have done similar with the Planning Commission too. So
it seems like this is stuff you're kind of already doing, but it's not in a program because you're responding to these calls now. It's taking away from other work that you guys do.
Yeah.
I think that'll be important for you to sell it to the council.
Yes.
So yeah. Making sure it's not necessarily a new thing. It actually creates additional, like if you're asking for the extra funding, it frees up other resources that are probably better used for designing roads, and it could be a savings in the long run.
Yeah.
I'd maybe look at that angle, because I think when you go to the council and you hit them with a $500,000 additional budget without efficiencies that offset, you might have a little bit of an uphill battle. But I think there's a sales pitch you can put on it, because it really will. It'll take people that are probably senior level engineers that are handling these calls now, and you could hire an entry level person to handle them and free up those resources. So
yeah,
just.
And the other thing I did forgot to mention in our work session with council earlier this month, they were really in favor of this. So they're real excited about it too. So.
You might be hearing from us, my neighborhood. We'll see.
All right, thank you. No further questions. All right, next on the agenda is to try to finish up the discussion that we started at the last meeting regarding the land use review process.
Can we get a bigger version of the flowchart? I can't quite read that.
I did make sure that.
Yeah.
I did make sure that the PDF, you could zoom in and read everything.
Okay.
And it was formatted for 11x17, but you have to play with Acrobat to get it to switch sizes in the middle of the print. So I do apologize for that.
No worries.
Okay. I don't know if I want to go through the memo again. So maybe I'll just start with any
highlight any questions. Changes.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done any additional work to it.
Oh, okay.
But I did want to make one comment that did occur to me after the last meeting. You know, in terms of asking to add days to the review process, if you're like doing a road mod and you need 60 days for some other revisions, we're not going to add 51 days. We're going to add we would take the greatest amount of whatever you're asking for if it's concurrent. Obviously, if you need a second 60-day cycle down the road, that could add more time.
Okay.
But we're not going to, you know, if you're crossing the multiple thresholds with one in one cycle, we're not going to add all those days up.
Do you get holds longer? Do you get 60-day holds on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes there's an outside agency issue that was unforeseen, and we don't just force people to withdraw their application.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks.
So I guess we're just jumping right into. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, please.
So I took a few notes, and I guess a lot of them revolved around the just one round of early issues. So my experience on the early issues process is it usually goes in the three-ish range at the moment. And I would say that a lot of times I feel like that last one is probably could easily be cut out. It's a lot of just real small items. That said, I've had several instances where there were items brought up on the second early issues that weren't brought up on the first one. And so I guess I'm a little bit concerned that if there are items that the planner, you know, didn't notice or caught later, how that would be addressed.
So I'm not suggesting that we wouldn't give additional feedback if something comes up during the review process. But at that point, if you want to address it, you would have to request a hold to address it.
It seems to be going against the point of getting the timeline faster.
Well, every time we have to make revisions, we need time to review those changes. And if we do too many cycles, we run out of time because, we can't review what you submit until you submit it. And if we've already used 2/3 of the timeline before we get to that point, there's just no time left. I mean, under this new statute, we are liable to refund fees if we miss our timelines. We're reporting to the state on performance for residential projects. And so we're under a lot more pressure to ensure that we are meeting the timelines, and the state statute doesn't allow us to fall back to the timelines in the state statute. If we've adopted a timeline, that's the timeline we're held accountable to.
I guess what I was wondering is, is two too many is there any reason why we can't do two rounds?
Well, certainly in a type three review, it gets challenging. I think, we can be more flexible with type two reviews, but with a type three review, we have 78 days to get to a hearing. And we have 92 days to get to a decision. And so, if you're willing to work with us to get everything to where you want it to be going into the hearing, that's fine. But we have applicants who will push us to a hearing when we know they're not ready. And they want to be going through this early issues process right up until the last minute. And that's part of what we have to manage as well. One of the things, we're not proposing to put any of this in code, primarily so that we have the flexibility to adjust, to change our process without having to deal with a code amendment. If we find that, allowing for a second early issues review is going to work better, then we'll certainly adjust.
I would suggest thinking about that. It's not just there have been situations where there were issues brought up in the second early that weren't addressed in the first, and they were new issues. But beyond that, a lot of it's, if you get feedback in early issues, I can believe that I've responded to it. But as it is right now, if the next early issues come out and it marks that issue as resolved, then I'm all right. I know that they accepted my response and everything's good. I guess I'm just worried that there's a lot of situations. If there's one and only one, then I'll respond it and I'll just sit there for the next few months wondering if my response was acceptable or not.
Ryan, I think the point of the early issues that they, the reason why they started that process was to reduce the number of conditions of approval in any particular right. staff report and make it easier at the end of the project by front loading a lot of these things there. I mean, if they find something during a second review, I'm not discounting your conversation here or your concern about, you know, taking a second bite at the apple. That's always been a concern on the engineering side. And rightfully so. But on the planning side, if something comes up, I mean, it sounds to me like they could either, you know, have a second early issues and, you know, get it resolved or just condition it. And then you have to address it at the end of the, at the end of the project.
I agree. Yeah. If it can be conditioned, that's always my preference. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, I definitely support, you know, if we can condition it, then, you know, if it's a type two, we still send out a draft. If there's something wrong with the condition, you know, there's some opportunity to look at that. If it's a type three, we can resolve the condition issue through the hearing process. And also to your, I guess, second bite at the apple concern. I mean, that's a concern I have as well. And I've talked to Naomi about working with both the engineering staff and the planning staff to do a more thorough early issues review to try and avoid those missed items. And I think, you know, I think if this is going to work well, that early issues review does have to be a little more in depth because of that.
And some, I know that some jurisdictions around here are doing almost an early issues review at TC or FC as well. So there's, you know, you can decide one way or the other, which is it going to be, how front loaded do you want your project review to be? Understanding that at fully complete, their timeline hasn't started at all.
But we are operating under a fully complete timeline.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And, you know, we are currently completing that in 14 days as opposed to 21 for the first review. So if we wanted to front load it, I mean, there's a couple ways we could approach it. One is we could engage the planning staff during fully complete to start that early issues review, but then things could change.
I don't think we're suggesting that.
Yeah.
I think the way it's been working, and I'll just speak for myself, is that it's been working very well in that regard. Fully complete, 2 weeks, great. Project starts, 30 days later, we get early issues. If we have to place it on hold or whatever, fine. And then it's been much smoother, again, my opinion only, my experiences, in order to get to a staff report in the 78 days. It's just, I think it's been really good. Instead of waiting, man, before we had the fully complete or the early issues, everything was happening right at the end.
Yeah.
One of the comments that came from our group at AKS was about the possibility of doing like an early issues meeting. Sometimes the items that come out, you know, we had one recently that was like, hey, you need road modifications for existing accesses that were previously approved under a road modification. And so there are some initial feedback that we thought, well, hey, we just need to provide documentation that this was previously approved by a road modification. Well, it turns out it came back as a second round of early issues. And some of these things could be resolved, you know, through that conversation.
Yeah, I think when we started the early issues, we did include a meeting. And it, I don't know if it completely went away because of COVID, but even prior to that, we were more often than not, the meetings were essentially being canceled. But we could certainly,
and I don't think all of them need to, but like the development engineering first round of comments come back, there's just a suggestion at the top that says, please contact us for if a first review meeting is, you know, requested.
So, yeah, I would certainly support providing that option.
Okay.
And even if it, you know, if making sure that everybody you need in the room is there for that meeting.
Yeah.
Brent, I have sort of a high level question, because as all of you know, I'm not in the weeds like these guys are. So my question is, have we reviewed how other counties operate? Because there are several counties that already have a shorter timeline than Clark County. And so I'm just curious, in a high level, have we identified maybe any specific pieces of this that we are doing maybe more than we need to be?
I think April and I would be curious to know of examples where jurisdictions have shorter timelines than we do. Our experience with the seven county or multi-county group that we met with is many of those jurisdictions had never even really paid attention much to timelines, and they're scrambling on how to comply with this new statute. If there are specific examples, we'd be happy to reach out to those folks and see what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, the timelines that I'm speaking of aren't necessarily specific to just this piece, right? It's the whole picture, but just curious if those conversations had been had with other areas and how are they doing it to see what maybe best practices are, rather than trying to think within your current staff, you know, what could be the best. There might be people who are already doing it well that you could glean some feedback from.
And I think, I mean, there are other avenues we're pursuing that are not just focused on a process timeline. We are still developing and piloting concurrent review for site plan. Recently we had another meeting with the city to, we kind of did an internal debrief on the couple of cases that we have had concurrent review on, started to provide, develop some more framework on how we might formalize a process. And we did meet with the city and go through that and compare it to how they've been doing and their experience with their process. I'm hoping in the not too distant future, I can bring that forward to Deeb. I think there's, you know, those are other opportunities that I think can, at least for the projects that can fit in those lanes, can achieve a lot more streamlining than we can achieve by trying to micromanage our timelines.
I think the county's actually made some really good strides over the past few years, and I hate to see like trying to improve it accidentally making it worse. Because it happens.
Well,
you guys have been doing a pretty good job.
In looking at this new state statute, it's in my mind is falling into the category of be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
You know, because the legislature has now put some boards around how we can do this that aren't necessarily flexible.
Yeah, I think just having reasonable people on both sides trying to come to a conclusion and work towards a common goal is really what we need. And then when you start regulating it too much, it becomes kind of a battle back and forth. And I don't know. I think the thing the county has done really well, that the early issues has been great. Cause I think what used to happen before, kind of as Mike alluded to, those are done with fully complete and they were review comments, not fully complete comments. So you guys have kind of separated those, which is good. It's like, is the application there? Do we have a site plan? Do we have a traffic study? Yep. It's complete. Is it right? Maybe not. That's the next step, but at least it moves to that stage. And I think county's using a lot of common sense. I do think the optional meeting like we used to have pre-COVID probably is a good idea on the challenging ones, but probably not on all of them because it takes a lot of resources. And then with the early issues, sometimes the early issues is kind of like a mic drop, like here's a bunch of problems. And then we're like, oh, geez, what are we going to do? I mean, it's just a list of problems, not possible solutions. And like the road mod ones are a perfect example. Those are ones that we end up spending quite a bit of time on, and it'd be good to like kind of write off, start working with staff, like what is our solution here instead of just here's the problem. Like even if they have good suggestions on how to resolve those problems, like, well, maybe we could do this at a stop. Like I have a situation right now. There's an existing roadway, site distance issue, not even a new access point. It needs a stop sign or it needs something because it's an existing issue. It can't even be fixed with this project. But if staff came back and said, you know, we might need to look at adding a stop sign here, then we're not doing a 7-page narrative to solve something that we're both on the same page for. That's I think where we could improve the process a little bit, just good communication and, you know, collaboration.
Yeah. And just one thing I want to go back to, the front loading, fully complete at 14 days and early issues at 30. Most of the jurisdictions that are doing a more thorough, fully complete review with added issues to make sure that, you know, things are more front loaded, they're taking at least 28 days to do their TC review. And then if they discover something, then they will present that back to the applicant. Their timeline hasn't even started yet. So I think that what we've got going on in Clark County is probably the best right now that we can hope for. And so I don't think that we're suggesting any changes in that regard.
Hey, Brent, one question. With regard to the public notice and the sign posting on site, I believe it's required to be 30 days prior to the hearing. And currently it's been where the hearing date is tentatively set immediately after fully complete. And I think based on this flow chart, it looks like it'll be set after early issues is resolved, which crunches you down in order, doesn't allow you time to order your sign and with the hearing date and everything on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hearing scheduling is something that we're struggling a bit with because the code requires us to schedule a tentative date because we have to assume, even though we know most projects get delayed for one reason or another, end up on hold for at least a few weeks. But we have to meet that 78 days. And if we don't block a hearing date out at fully complete, we may not have a slot open when we need it. And so, you know, I guess the question I would put back on you folks is there generally a concern with getting the sign out on the site too early in the process?
The sign can always be revised. City of Camas, we have a blank sign. It's the sign, but we don't have a date in it. And once the date is established, then we can go out there with what I've done is a chisel marker, put it in, put some strapping tape over it so it doesn't wash off. You're done. If it changes, you take it off, you put another piece of paper over the top, you put another one, you put more tape up there, you're done. It's not that challenging nor that big of a deal. If you order a sign with the date already on there, then you might have to go back in and do what I just said. But that allows us with no date on the sign to have the date scheduled later on and then write the date in. And then the requirement is that it has to be done 14 days in advance of the hearing so that everybody has ample time to the public has ample time to be notified.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would make sense to align, you know, the sign needs to be up at least 30 days prior to the hearing, mm-hmm. but the final hearing date needs to be posted 14 days before the hearing. Because if we're at 14 days and there's an issue that's going to delay the hearing, it's going to be a continuance. So the hearing is going to be opened. And I'm not sure we would need to change anything in the code to do that.
It's worked for us for CAMS projects.
So one other thing I might add is, you know, it's a bit of a culture change, I think, for us, but something that April and I are starting to work on is the code gives us so many days to get a decision done. And obviously, if we're busy and we're at capacity, it's may not happen often, but there's no reason if we can't get a decision done early that we shouldn't get it done early. For type ones and type twos. I mean, and I'm thinking in context more of if we're asking you to add days to the timeline for holds, if we don't need all those days at the end of the review, we shouldn't just wait. I think I can't, you know, I guess make a firm commitment because there's a lot of variables involved, but if that's
and
Brent,
your intent. And I'll say that that's what our contractors say, is that they would love if the staff didn't take the whole time if you didn't need it.
Right.
It feels like sometimes it's just not addressed yet because it hasn't hit the timeline. And so that, I think you've hit the nail on the head.
I added this section to the narrative and I submitted it. How long does it take to review that?
Yeah.
It doesn't take 14 days.
But it often does take 14 days to get the response, you know? So I think that's great. I think you hit the nail on the head with that statement.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, even if we can't get the decision done, if there's critical feedback, like, am I on target with this submittal? I would certainly, I will ask my staff at least to provide that feedback. You know, if you've submitted something that we've asked for, I don't think it's unreasonable for a quick email or quick phone call that says, hey, this looks good.
Thanks, Brent. I know that there are, maybe you're not the one to answer this, but I know that there are also audits going on with development engineering and building permits. Do you know the status of those or when those could potentially come before?
Well, I know he's talking about the lien process.
Development engineering coming up in May.
That's that lien process, the auditing one that we're going to be involved in coming up.
Yeah. But it's more the development engineering. I don't think buildings involved. That's what kind of threw me a little bit. It's development engineering with the auditor when they come in. Is that the one you're talking about in May? Not sure.
Yes, that is.
Development engineering will be going first in May. The permit center will be slated for a later date after the development engineering folks have gone through the process.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're meeting the first week of May. That is
okay.
An answer. But development engineering, yes, definitely. I think it's May 5th around there.
Okay. So maybe June-ish or so that we can expect to have that indeed. Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone. And now, is there any public comment? Anyone online like to make any public comments? All right. With that, I will accept. No, we don't need a motion to. We are adjourned.